How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. It's a huge day here on the show, and we got a lot to talk about today. Next week is the next WWE pay-per-view. It is the Battleground Show, headlined by, yes, a Punjabi prison match, Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton for the WWE title. And yes, the Punjabi prison is coming to SmackDown on Tuesday night. What they're going to do with it, I don't know. But Jinder Mahal made it sound like he's packing it up out of the garage, bringing it to SmackDown, and they're going to put it on the air. We can run down the whole card for the show here today on the program. We have 6 matches so far. More to come, obviously. The go-home show is Tuesday, so I'm sure they'll fill up the pre-show and that sort of thing. That is a topic for today. We've got television we can talk about, Lucha Underground, NXT. This past Friday, I went to NXT Live here in Seattle. It was a very fun show. Not as good as the first time they came to Seattle. The talent level the first time they came to Seattle was much, much higher. But it was still a fun show. Main event with Bobby Roode and Roderick Strong was awesome. Fans loved the Ember Moon Ruby Riot match. Lots of good stuff on the show. We can talk about that here today. A look at NXT on the road. The New Japan G1 opening night is tonight, 2 a.m. late Sunday night, early Monday morning. That's Eastern time. So if you want to check that out, you can do so on njpwworld.com. We'll run down the card for the first night of action. A lot of big matches coming over the next several weeks in New Japan. We got a preview of Monday and Tuesday at Raw and SmackDown, and a bunch more as well. I'm going to throw out the phone numbers after the break. Make sure you listen, because if something is on your car screen, that's not the phone number to call. I will give you the phone numbers and text message line after the break. Wrestling Observer Live. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I got so much to talk about here today. And thankfully, we have 2 full hours. If you want to give us a call today, this is the phone number. It is toll-free, 844-411-5411. That is toll-free, 844-411-5411. What could be easier than that? The text message line, if you want to text us here on the show, 425-780-7566. That is 425-780-7566. Don't call that number. Nothing happens. That is only for text messages. If you missed any of these numbers, I'll repeat them after each break. But also, you can go to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. There's a big post about today's show. Everything you ever wanted to know is in there. Phone numbers, as well as over a dozen over-the-air affiliates. So if you're listening online right now, and you happen to be in the car, you could switch to the radio if you're in one of those local market affiliate areas. So check those out. And if you're listening, if you happen to hear this show on an affiliate that is not listed, let me know and I'll add it to the list. I'm at Brian Alvarez on Twitter as well. Mike is at Sempervivi. And we're going to kick it off today. Just a quick note here. I've not seen any of the show. I don't know really anything about it except the results. A UFC is going on here today at the Hydro, the SSE Hydro in Glasgow, Scotland. Main event, Santiago versus Gunnar Nelson. Show's going to air later on tonight, I presume, on FS1. But here's the whole thing. The prelim card, there was a fight between a man named Glory Bofondo. It's just about the best name I've ever heard.
It is.
And Charlie Ward.
Not the former Florida State Heisman Trophy winner and New York Knicks basketball point guard.
Now, if you Google UFC Fight Night 113, this clip is all over the internet, so you don't have to wait till tonight to see it. But what happened was, Glory Bofondo won the fight via knockout when he gave Charlie Ward a hip toss straight out of professional wrestling, but Charlie Ward didn't take the bump right, and he landed on his head, and he was knocked out. I'm not making this up.
Hey.
That was the finish of the fight. So if you want to see some pro wrestling in your mixed martial arts, watch UFC tonight, and you will, in fact, see a man knocked out by a hip toss.
Anything can happen in a fight, and we have seen now some things happen in fights with the chokes, and you always have the possibility of seeing something new. Now, I did see it. It has already aired on FS1. I'm not sure if it's going to air in a replay later on FS2 or on FS1 again, but at least they got the show out of the way. I wasn't sure if you were going to be able to see it, but they got it out of the way right before we got a chance to go on the air here, because there was a lot of violence on the main card with quick stoppages. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a replay. So if there is, I won't tease anybody.
I presume there's a replay. They almost always do the later evening replay. Somebody let us know if there's going to be a replay tonight, but I'm pretty sure. Now,
it's kind of a slow time for sports, I'm assuming, so I'm sure they'll need to fill some time, at least on FS2.
So this Friday, I went to NXT Live, and it's the second time, ran in the Paramount Theater in Seattle, and it was a really fun show. Now, the last time that I went, it was a better show, because the level of talent was higher. You had guys like Finn Balor on the show, Samoa Joe. This time, we did have, I mean, don't get me wrong, the main event with Bobby Roode and Roderick Strong was absolutely great. It was just a great match. But the overall level of talent in the show was lower than it was the last time. Now, didn't take away from my enjoyment. I really did enjoy the show. I was fascinated today when I didn't take any notes on the show. I just went and I watched everything. So I went online to just grab the who beat who so I could talk about it here today on the show. And I found a report from Seattle, and the most bizarre thing, it lists a match that wasn't on the show. Now, really? I'm pretty sure I'm not losing my mind, because I confirmed this with others who were at the show. There was no Asuka Billie Kay match for the NXT Women's title. And apparently there are a lot of reports out there on the internet about Friday's show that list that match as having taken place. It didn't. It's totally bizarre. Now, they did do an angle where Asuka came out and then both Billie Kay and Peyton interrupted. And, of course, they attacked her. She beat them up. Everybody went home happy. But there was no singles match, so I don't know where that came from. But the highlights of the show, No Way Jose versus Kona Reeves was, well, I don't want to give away. I don't want to talk too much about this, because I've actually come up with a storyline that perhaps even I could utilize if I decide to come out of retirement.
Really?
But the point of all of this is, No Way Jose is the best opening match wrestler that you could possibly have. He's the best.
He's good.
He was the opener the last time they came to town, and he was the opener this time. And when you're sitting there in the theater and you're just hanging out and nothing's happening, and they show the video, they do like the national anthem or something like that, but they just play a video on the screen and it's like a pixelated version of the U.S. flag. It's hilarious.
Yes.
And then it's over and now it's time for the show to start, and they hit No Way Jose's music. The place just came unglued. This dude, they're on a big stage. It's a theater. So, like, just imagine, you know, you're watching a play. The ring is on the stage. He jumps off the stage. He runs all the way up the aisle on one side, shaking hands. He runs all the way down the aisle on the other side, shaking hands. He runs all the way along the front row, shaking hands. They're playing his music. People are dancing. They're going crazy. He gets in the ring. They had the easiest match you've ever seen. It was my favorite, a no-spots match. I don't think there were any spots in the match. It was just as simple as could be. They did a couple of things. Kona Reeves got the heat. I guess that's a spot. He beat him up for a while. And then No Way Jose made a comeback, a couple of moves. I can't even count them as like high spots. There was no, you know, and then he wins. And everybody is as happy as can be. And it was so great. Now, is No Way Jose a future WWE heavyweight champion? I don't think so. But you never know. But he doesn't need to be, because he can just remain the greatest opening match wrestler that they've had since, like, I don't know. The last guy as good as him was like Jimmy Valiant, who I guess really wasn't an opening match guy, but you know, if he had a show, Jimmy Valiant would be the best opening match possible.
Well, you know, I mean, look, in the 90s, and people will probably crucify me for this, but it's, look, when Disco Inferno first got there, and he would come out, and he would be the first match, and you would go to the house show, and like the Nitro taping, and the ball would drop, and the crappy music would come on, and here he comes out in all of his disco glory, and it's like, he was great in that role. He was, you know, whether it be La Parca or whatever the match, Yuji Nagata, whatever random match they would happen to have, he was the perfect guy to come out and kind of start the show, get you ready, and then you could bring out, whether it be the Luchadors or whatever you wanted to come out next, would be, you know, a great way to kind of work your way up the card.
I'm going to go over the rest of the show throughout the program here today. We've got a lot of people on the call, so I want to intermix those. So let's go to the phones. You're on the air.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland. I have a couple questions on the Mae Young Classic. The first question is it a goal of Vince McMahon to sign Ronda Rousey based on what he's doing in this tournament? And second of all, who wins these matches based on who you know rather than how good of a wrestler you are?
Excuse me, what? Who you know rather than how good of a wrestler you are? What's that supposed to
mean? Yeah, like when they have these tournaments. Like the Cruiserweight Classic, like, or the Mae Young Classic, is it based on who you know?
I mean, everything's based on who you know, Ryan. This is the entertainment business. So yes, obviously an aspect of this is who you know. Let's go back to your first question here. So Ronda Rousey was in fact in the front row at the Mae Young Classic. Shayna Baszler, one of the four horsewomen, is in the tournament. And they had Ronda there for the first night. I believe she was there for the second night. I know that they've apparently worked something out where she's going to be there more often for these. I don't know what that means. I don't think they're going to sign her to be like an active participant in the women's division. Could they get Ronda Rousey for one match? Sure. They offer enough money, UFC okays it, and she's up with it, then yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure they'd love it. I'm not sure it's going to happen, though. Back in a moment, Observer Live. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. You want to give us a call here today, 844-411-5411. That is toll-free, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. A lot of news. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Oh, hey, this is Paul in Barbersville. And just a reminder, I was right last week.
You were.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and
for those that don't know what he's talking about, Paul here successfully predicted that Roman Reigns was going to go for the big spear, Braun Strowman would move, and Reigns would spear himself into the back of the ambulance like a numbskull. You called it.
Yeah, and I figured there was going to be some sort of brawl for Roman to get his heat back, but I did not predict vehicular homicide.
No, you did
and,
not. Who could have?
Speaking of predictions. The new Fire Pro Wrestling game came out this week, and I am currently using it to simulate a prediction of the G1 climax.
Really?
I'm right in the middle of the B block right now. I have already simulated the A block, and according to this 100% unbiased AI, the winner of the A block will be Yoshihashi.
Yoshihashi.
Tacos is the winner of Block A.
Huh.
Yes, and right now, Juice Robinson and Kazuchika Okada are going at it. Juice Robinson has had a little bit of a rough go so far. Kenny Omega pinned him in under 7 minutes, so he is going after the champ like he has something to prove, so going to be keeping an eye on that. But I thought I'd also talk about this World Cup tournament that What Culture Pro Wrestling is holding. They held, they streamed the Japan leg of the tournament on YouTube, and you can watch it on their YouTube channel for free. It was excellent. I particularly recommend checking out the Hiromu Takahashi versus Komatsu of the Tempura Boys match. And that one's really worth going out of your way to watch. And they are having the American leg of the tournament on this Friday, and let me tell you the matches that they have booked here. Matt Sydal versus Ricochet, Keith Lee versus James Storm, Jay Lethal.
Whoa, hold on a second. Keith Lee versus James Storm?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is happening on Friday.
This is crazy.
Jay Lethal versus Moose, and Bobby Fish versus David Starr. So they got an all-star roster of indie.
What culture loves to spend money? I don't know how they make money, but God, they love to spend money. And was What Culture also the ones? Now, I know everybody.
The 132-man tournament or whatever?
Yeah, everybody got tournament crazy there for a minute trying to outdo each other. And weren't they going to do some 212-person tournament or whatever?
I think it was 132, but yeah. I got to address this here because people have been talking about it all weekend.
What?
So, a bunch of people have sent me this. For example, Pro Wrestling Mag here writes, per Sports Illustrated, Talking Smack was not canceled due to viewership. Vince McMahon personally canceled it as it wasn't, quote, in his best interests, end quote. That's a story from Sports Illustrated.
Justin Barrasso, yes.
Now listen, I can neither confirm nor deny this story. I've heard it. I don't know if it's true right now. But let me say a couple of things about it. Number one, WWE themselves issued a statement after they canceled Talking Smack, without, by the way, alerting Renee Young, who found out about it on Twitter, or Daniel Bryan, who found out about it on Twitter, or any of the people putting the show together who found out about it the next day. They weren't even told that night it was the last one. WWE's statement, and this is to PW Insider right here, was that we continuously review WWE Network's programming lineup based on a variety of factors, including viewership and subscriber research. Talking Smack and Raw Talk will air following pay-per-view events. Tuesday will continue to feature 205 Live. So they mentioned viewership there. Now, I can tell you for a fact, I mean, whatever reason the show was canceled, whether it was Vince McMahon or whatever, I mean, the show was not doing, it was not doing well in viewership. I mean, that's a fact, regardless of whatever the reason was for its cancellation. Now, the reason that I'm skeptical of the idea that Vince McMahon just showed up one day, watched the show, and went, oh, this is just terrible. It's horrible for business. I mean, listen, as I crack my knuckles right here, I know that, like, a lot of people love SmackDown, and they love it a lot more than Raw. And they think that Raw is often terrible, and SmackDown is really good. And they've set it up in their minds that Vince McMahon is in charge of Raw, and I guess some magical, brilliant people are in charge of SmackDown, and Vince has nothing to do with it. Let me tell you something. Vince is in charge of Raw and SmackDown. So if you hate Raw and you love SmackDown, then you can't come on here and say, Vince McMahon needs to go. He's terrible. Well, he's not terrible if you love SmackDown because he's doing that show as well. Now, as we talked about when we were going over the whole deal with the viewership of Talking Smack, I mean, the whole thing with Miz and Daniel Bryan that everybody loved so much that got turned into an angle, it was aired on SmackDown. My whole point is, the idea that Vince McMahon was unaware, I'm not saying that Vince McMahon watched the show every week, because I don't think that he did, but the idea that Vince McMahon was unaware of what was going on Talking Smack, I mean, he used angles off Talking Smack on SmackDown, which he's in charge of. I mean, the idea that he doesn't know what's going on or he's unaware of any of this, it's preposterous. Like, he showed up one day and suddenly realized, oh my God, we're talking about this and that? Oh, we can't have this on the air. It's ridiculous. Now, maybe that was his excuse. I mean, maybe he showed up and just said, I don't think this is what's best for business, so we're canceling it. And again, it's just like with Jamie Kellner and WCW. I mean, Jamie Kellner didn't like wrestling, and he canceled it. But the fact of the matter is, if WCW had been doing 5 million viewers for Nitro and Thunder, he wouldn't have canceled it. He canceled it because it was a money pit, and he didn't like it. So, I mean, maybe there was a time where Talking Smack was doing better and Vince didn't like the show, but it was doing numbers, and so he let it stay, and now the numbers are terrible, and he decided this is just, it's not worth it, and that's it. That's the end of it. I mean, there could be truth to all of this. All I know is it was not doing good numbers, and it was then canceled. And if there's more to the story, there's more to the story, but this very much reminded me of the stories where a wrestler gets fired, and he goes, well, you know, Vince loved me, but man, at Jim Ross, he didn't like me, and so I was fired. I mean, yes, Jim Ross or John Laurinaitis or whoever's in charge, Mark Carano, if it's Total Divas. I mean, these guys, they're the ones that deliver the message.
The Reaper.
Yeah, they're the messenger. But I mean, if you were released from WWE, it was Vince McMahon's call. That's it. And you can believe whatever you want, and you can tell people whatever you want about how Vince loved you and he didn't want you to go and all this. But at the end of the day, Vince McMahon got rid of you. That's the end of the story. So, point is, nobody was watching Talking Smack. I'm sorry. Whatever story comes out about it, the reality is people weren't watching it.
You know what? I personally don't know, but I could see there being truth lying in both in that. Look, if the thing was doing ratings, if it were was doing viewership, I guess I should say, to such a strong level, then it would still be on there. But also, did Vince just get tired of it? It's possible. He's not good with these types of shows. He's not good with the podcast being on there. He's not good with pregame shows. He's not good with press conferences. He doesn't, for whatever reason, it's something that either somebody has the idea that gets repitched to him and then he takes it, or, you know, Talking Smack was kind of a repackaged sort of deal from what they've done before and other attempts that they've made, both that and the Raw post show. And maybe they both lasted a lot longer than probably we should be, you know, we should probably be thrilled they lasted this long and that they ended up being as entertaining as they were, at least when it came to Talking Smack. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's Vince is one of those guys that, you know, again, if there were enough eyeballs on it, then it probably would be on there. But, you know, that's the one number that matters in all of this stuff, no matter what viewership is number one. And number one is Vince McMahon. And if he decided, I'm done with this, I don't, for the wind has blown and I don't like how this is making our performers look as it relates to our storyline or whatever nonsense that has been cooked up and came up with that could have very possibly happened on the, you know, the drop of a hat, the change of one of Vince's whims, then I'm not going to be surprised about that either.
This person says, do you think WWE might put out character pieces for the women's tournament in addition to the bracketology show to build interest? Shows are a month away.
They should.
I think, listen, I don't know, but I presume so.
Capsules, I mean, on all of them, yeah.
I mean, the difference is, I mean, they're still planning on rolling it out 4 episodes 1 week, 4 episodes the next week, and then the finals. So, the Cruiserweight Classic, you had more time to build up the guys because every week they would do some personality pieces on the show. I presume they're going to do that on the show for the Mae Young Classic as well.
You know what you
But I don't know
do,
about
though,
in addition to that.
In lieu of commercials, and you know, you could do 90-second or like 2-minute pieces on somebody with a couple clips of footage. This is who they are. This is where they're from. This is what to look out for in their match coming up. And hey, you can catch the, you know, whatever, and you finish the whole thing off each time with, and you can catch them coming up on the Mae Young Classic, debuting whatever. And you could put those into the WWE's network programming and then drop a couple into Raw or SmackDown if you chose to do that too.
So it says, do you think Renee Young and Daniel Bryan could face some sort of heat for their Twitter post about WWE not telling them about the cancellation? I shall address that after the break. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you should always check out WrestlingObserver.com. We have articles up all the time about all the major stories in pro wrestling and MMA, daily updates, plus a ton of radio shows. If you love this show and you only get to hear it once a week, you are missing out. Every single day we do shows. We got 2 more shows coming up today, only for subscribers. The Brian and Vinny Show, running down some old NWA from the 80s, as well as Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. Dave and I do 3 to 4 shows a week. Vinny and I do 3 shows a week. We got Wrestling Observer Live every single day that goes up for subscribers. Anywhere from 15 to 20 brand new shows a week. And you get full access to every show we've ever done dating back to 2005. That's 12 plus years, 8,000 shows and counting available for subscribers. So if you love this show, if you love audio, if you got a commute, if you go to the gym and listen to stuff and you just can't get enough, sign up today, WrestlingObserver.com. You'll get all of that audio. You can podcast it, listen to it in the car. It's so easy. Plus, you get the Wrestling Observer newsletter every single week, back issues of the Observer newsletter, Figure 4 Weekly, and so much more. It's $10.99 a month. It's a steal. I guarantee if you like this show, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check it out. Two things real quick. Number one, if Vince McMahon canceled Talking Smack because he said it wasn't good for business or whatever the claim was, why is it still airing after pay-per-views? Thank you.
Give everybody time to think about that.
Yeah, the answer is because that's not why it was canceled. Now, the other thing to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mike, for your extensive dead air there.
That's a pregnant pause right there.
That was more than a pregnant. That was pregnant
nine
with
plus.
Twins.
That's
the other thing I want to mention. The guy asking about, will Renee Young or Daniel Bryan get heat for going on Twitter and saying what they said about not knowing it was canceled and couldn't believe they were alerted on Twitter, that sort of thing. Here's the reality. Daniel Bryan would love to be fired. I shouldn't say he'd love to be fired. I shouldn't say it quite like that, but
it wouldn't hurt his feelings.
Daniel Bryan wants to wrestle, and he can't wrestle as long as he's under contract for WWE. So if something happened and he got fired and he could wake up tomorrow and go work for New Japan and CMLL, and he'd be happy as can be. So I don't think he's worried about getting heat for this one. He's not even on TV anyway. And number two, Renee Young, maybe there are some people in WWE who, if they got fired, they'd have a tough time getting a job somewhere or making a good deal of money doing what they're doing in WWE. Renee Young is not one of them.
No.
If Renee Young were fired today, she'd be hired somewhere tomorrow, and she'd be just fine.
She'd be hired later on that day.
So I'm not sure that she's all that concerned about getting heat.
Now, can we bring her back to Raw? Would that be actually a nice thing to do? I would think it would be a nice thing to do, wouldn't you?
She should be on every show.
Well, that's true. She should, but she should. I mean, it would be nice. They could use her on Raw. I know that might screw up anything with not Dasha, but what's her name? Charlie on that brand. But, you know, to be with Dean Ambrose, you know, to be hosting the Raw post show. I mean, she's there for Raw pay-per-views anyway. So why don't you just bring her back to Raw? Wouldn't that be a nice thing to do? Maurice is over there. I always like their interaction together. So that would be a nice thing.
If you want to give us a call today, the phone number, 844-411-5411. That is toll-free, 844-411-5411. Text messages, send those to 425-780-7566. All of these numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And this person here, John in Fort Worth, says, will the Bullet Club do well in the G1? Well, If you think that Kenny Omega's going to win, then yeah, they'd be doing pretty well.
I don't think he's taking a zero, so you don't have to worry about that. I'm figuring they're going to do pretty good.
G1 starts tonight, 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 Pacific, if you want to check it out. The G1 matches for this evening include Yuji Nagata versus Yoshihashi, who, according to Paul, is going to the finals. Paul also alerted me that Okada won, so I guess he'd be going to the finals on the other side. Togi Makabe versus Bad Luck Fale. Hiroki Goto versus Tomohiro Ishii. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. And Tetsuya Naito versus Kota Ibushi.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch all of these matches tonight at jpwworld.com. We'll talk about them tomorrow. Sounds like quite a lineup.
Is that not awesome? It really is an awesome way to start things. Kota Ibushi and Naito being the main event of tonight, it may play into the final night, you know, a month from now in August. This is going to be, because everybody seems to be thinking about this thing, it's really down to four people who you think have a chance to win, which is Kota Ibushi and Naito, which are facing off tonight, as well as, on the flip side, Kenny Omega and really Okada. I guess you could say Minoru Suzuki too, but these are the four names that in the last couple of days, really, that they seem to be everybody's choices to finish off in the final four in some aspect. So what's going to happen tonight with Ibushi and Naito could really play a big factor in what comes later on. Now, there's other things to look at tonight too. Yuji Nagata, this is his last G1. Satoshi Kojima last year in his last G1. Didn't look great. I'm sorry, Hiroshi Tenzan didn't look great. Jushin Liger was not booked to look really well or to be a threat in his last Best of the Super Juniors this year. I'm a big Yuji Nagata fan, so this may be hope more than anything, but they have not done a miracle run in a while, and I'm not suggesting Yuji Nagata win, but I wonder if he actually gets off to a good start and is actually somewhat of a threat early on in this tournament, because that's basically what the G1 is a whole lot of little stories kind of interplaying with each other, taking you up towards the end. One of those
We've
stories-
had two tournaments with miracle run possibilities, and in neither case did it happen. So either they're building up for it this time, or Nagata is going to get like one win.
And then you know what? That's very possible. They could do that if they've stuck with what they've done. But like you said, they haven't done one of these in a while. And this would be a good time to do it with a guy with Yuji Nagata, who is got a lot of G1 wins. You know, there's a lot of, you know, he is a very popular guy still. So for him to go on a little run will be cool. Another story that might play out tonight, too, is Hiroshi Tanahashi's arm, whether he wins or whether he loses against Zack Sabre Jr. You would figure that Zack Sabre Jr. Will go to work on Tanahashi's bad arm. And how much will that play on Tanahashi throughout the tournament, too? Because he's got Bad Luck Fale after this, which... Again, this tournament is based around a lot of wild things happening and a lot of people getting surprise wins. Could Zack Sabre Jr. injure Tanahashi, setting up a win by Bad Luck Fale the next night? Who knows? But again, this is a really... Every night's got a great main event going on with it, and Ibushi and Naito is one hell of a way to start the thing.
By the way, this was Renee's comment on Twitter. Really disappointed about talking smack. We tried to make the show great. Guess I'll go back to welcoming my guest at this time.
I do love that.
Well, you know, Renee Young's going to be back on Talking Smack this coming Sunday because it's going to be a post-pay-per-view show. They're doing the Battleground show. She'll be there right afterwards saying, oh, my God, can you believe what we saw in that Punjabi prison match?
Yes, that's exactly how she'll say it, too. And no, it's great. It's just, I don't know if it's great or not, but it is hilarious when we talk about Vince McMahon and being hung up on certain words. And you can go back and listen to a local promo spot from 1976 where Vince is talking about the activities taking place at Asbury Park, New Jersey, where, you know, he welcomes his guest at this time, whoever it would be. And again, this is the way the old man is.
It's infuriating. What do you mean, my guest at this time? You're not welcoming your guest from the future? You're not welcoming your guest from the past?
It's possible.
It's ridiculous.
The boogie-woogie man.
It's preposterous.
Sometimes.
My guest at this time?
The new breed traveled.
Allow me
time.
To welcome my guest in the future, a caller. Oh, there's no one here right now, but in the future, they'll be calling in. Is that what we're supposed to be saying? It's ridiculous. Does the winner of the Mae Young Classic get a shot at Asuka? I don't think the winner gets anything. They get a trophy, but I haven't heard of any title shot or anything like that. I mean, maybe they'll...
They get a picture with Paul and Stephanie.
I mean, keep in mind, when they announced the Cruiserweight Classic, when they first announced it, they didn't tell you until the very end that the winner was going to get the title. So...
I wonder if the winner gets to cry, because everybody likes to cry.
There was so much crying at the tapings, you don't even know.
Most of it coming from the fans in, like, rapture.
No,
and
like
joy
every single girl cried.
Well, it's an emotional time.
There's a lot of crying.
Think Kurt Angle will be crying after Raw tomorrow night, where we'll still have a post show, or we're going to have some sort of breakdown of Kurt Angle and his announcement, I guess, that's going to be taking place. Did you see that?
Oh, we'll talk about that here in a bit. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Hi, Brian. This is Ken from Staten Island.
Thank you, Ken, my guest at this time.
Yeah, I was actually at the Mae Young Classic in person, and Shayna Baszler kind of got the Roman Reigns reaction, which is like bad heel heat, like it was like the crowd didn't want her to have won. But I don't know if anyone else has said this, because I haven't listened for a few days since I was away, but Jazzy Gabert, I don't know if I'm saying all
Jazzy
that
right. Gabert, got, yes.
Gabert?
Okay. She got the biggest pop on the second night, because I think the crowd was upset that she lost the first night. So the reaction she got, you would have thought that it was Stone Cold or something. And
I heard she was super over, and they were very impressed. So When they first started this tournament, I mean, the idea was they were going to bring in 32 women, and maybe the best four or five were going to get signed. But apparently after night one, they came out of it thinking, we may be signing like 10 girls here, because there were a lot of girls that surprised people. There were some girls that surprised people, and not in a good way, So I think we'll see a lot of girls signed, and Jazzy Mandip being one of them.
And as well,
yeah,
they should.
She had a character, and she looks tough. You know, she looks like she could beat someone up.
Well, she's got a very unique look. She's got a, you know, she does have a background. Is she great in the ring? No, but I mean, it's the presence, it's the look, it's the time in Japan. She's been on big stages before. She's had hype before. So, you know, being down in NXT isn't going to shake her up at all. Now, is she great in the ring? No. Doesn't have to be when you look like that. And it's no surprise if she's on the short list to get signed.
Now, let me ask you this question. Shayna Baszler, what did she work as a heel? I mean, did they do heels and baby faces? What did they do?
Well, I think once she was getting booed, she was giving looks to the crowd like, I don't like you, but I don't think it was planned that way. That was just my perception.
I see. But did they do babyface heel spots during the show, or was it just like straight babyface matches up and down the card?
I'd say overall it was straight babyface matches. That's the impression that I got. But I don't think that that's a good final matchup. Like, Kyrie and Shayna just don't match up well, like with the tough woman thing versus the flying woman thing. I don't think that was a good choice. I agree with the first caller who said, I think Shayna won just because of, you know, it's who she knows, that type of deal.
Well, I'll say this about, you know, Baszler and, you know, I think maybe because of the four horsewomen being there and everything, and that them being in enemy territory and stuff like that, I don't know. And we can have J.J. Williams on this week. I think it would probably be a good thing, too, if he'd want to come on and talk about his experiences down there, too. But, you know, I wonder if that, with Baszler, has actually got more to do with the rest of the women that were in that crowd sitting there, the horsewoman style.
Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got a lot to talk about after the top of the hour break. More from the NXT House Show. If you have a chance to go to an NXT House Show, it's a fun time. The whole thing is designed to send the crowd home happy. Unlike a lot of the
had by all
WWE television shows. Even when the heel is a champion and he wins the main event, of course, he is still beaten up and humiliated after the show.
Oh, yeah, he's going through a table or something.
Didn't go through a table, but he got beat up, so... It's a lot of fun. We'll talk more about that later on today. We got the full card for the Battleground show, which we can go over. That's next Sunday. We followed immediately by an episode of, yes, Talking Smack, the post show. That'll be this coming Sunday. Tomorrow, of course, the Kurt Angle reveal. We can talk about some theories as to who that person might be. It will be followed, Raw will be followed by a special interview with Kurt Angle in the WWE Network, where I guess he'll talk more about whoever this person is revealed to be. What's so funny?
All of the possibilities. People are going to be having a field day. That should be the show tomorrow, which should be, you know, the wacky prediction contest every year. You know, when we begin the year, we should have it for what the wackiest thing could possibly be for Kurt Angle.
Well, we're going to kick it off after the top of the hour news. Stick around another full hour here. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back here on the show, Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi. Second hour here today, and a lot to get into. In a moment, I'm going to throw out the phone numbers as well as the text message line. We're going to go to the phones after the next break. I also want to hear from you on who you think Kurt Angle's surprise is going to be tomorrow. Think it's going to be Dixie Carter? Think it's going to be Bayley? Do you think it's going to be somebody else? Let's take your calls. Go out on a limb, by the way. You can text as well. Go out on a limb because maybe if you, let's say you predict, well, you know, maybe Kurt Angle's illegitimate child is Samoa Joe. And it turns out you're right. Hey, look at you. That'd be pretty cool. But I want to hear who you think it's going to be. The phone number, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. Both of these numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Once again, to call, 844-411-5411. And to send a text message, 425-780-7566. You can also tweet me. I'm at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. And you can email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Want to know who you think Kurt Angle's big surprise is going to be tomorrow? If I had to guess, if I had to go out on a limb, I think I'd say his illegitimate child. It's either going to be Chad Gable or Bailey. How about that? Why not? Bailey.
So, does that play then into Bailey? Does it play into the hug she received or gave to Corey Graves, which is why he showed such a confused look on his face?
Bailey and Corey Graves are going to kiss one of these days. Mark my words.
My.
That's going to be the angle. It's got to be.
The Kurt angle?
It's got to be. Back in a moment with calls, texts, and so much more, Wrestling Observer Live. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Semper, VV, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Toll free, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. To the phones, you're on the air.
Hey, Brian, Mike, it's John from Arkansas. I'm on a landline now that I can trust rather than a crappy cell phone.
Thank God. Why don't you do that every time?
I don't know why I didn't do that every time. I've just, every now and then I've had it work in some places, and then it decides to crap out on me. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. As far as your going out on a limb, safe bet says Dixie Carter for the Kurt Angle thing.
That's
but
a safe
I'm
bet?
Falling in line with what you think along the lines of Bailey or Chad Gable, or here's the possibility, it could be both.
Both of them? He had twins?
Bingo!
Man, oh man.
Curveball.
Man, well, you know, if you do that, then you got to reveal that... I'm trying to think of how you could do it like Star Wars. Maybe it turns out that he reveals that Bailey is his daughter, but I'm trying to think of how Vince would love to do it, too. Eventually, Bailey and Corey have got a kiss, but then it turns out that Corey's also... Kurt's son, so now it's really perverse. Man, he'd have a field day with this. A field day.
That's right up Vince McMahon's alley.
Man, oh man. Now look at what you've started here. Look at that.
Look at him, they're kissing.
I do think that the three most likely scenarios are Dixie, Bailey, or Chad Gable. I was thinking about that during the break. I was like, What if Corey is actually Kurt's son? That's why he knows so much about this. They appear to be very close. But then he was calling somebody on the phone when Corey was on commentary, so that wouldn't work. Although Corey does get calls during commentary all the time, it appears.
Maybe they're from beyond the grave. And they're actually coming from Shelton Benjamin's past mama, who is actually Thea Vidal, who is still alive, so she can actually do her own flashbacks in her own voice as she talks to Kurt about the relationship they once had, which then introduces Shelton Benjamin as trying to get revenge for his mother, whose name has been now sullied by Kurt Angle.
This person writes, Vincest.
You know what? Whoever that person was, they won. They won.
Person says... Perhaps it's Nikki Bella admitting to her affair with Kurt Angle, and free agent John Cena demands a match with Kurt Angle.
I don't know about that one.
I think Kurt Angle's wrestling AJ at SummerSlam, so I don't think so.
That would be the best thing for Kurt Angle.
This person says, the angle is going to be one of the worst angles of all time. How can they think this idea is a good idea? It sucked the first time. Wait, we don't even know what the idea is.
It's been pretty good. I mean, look, you throw out, you have to use your pro wrestling brain to throw out some aspects of this, like a live show on the USA Network. It gets interrupted by the GM who needs to talk to the announcer. You forget about all that stuff. they've done a pretty good job, again, maybe because they didn't know where they were going, keeping this thing close to the vest and leaving it out there where we can have these types of scenarios, which we don't get much in wrestling anymore, where, for the most part, I mean, at least for right now, we could hate it at the end once the whole thing is over tomorrow night. But for right now, this is still a fun thing that is making you look forward to watching Raw. I think, at least. Maybe not all of us, but some of us.
Wikipedia. Corey Graves, American professional wrestler. Matthew Polinsky is an American color commentator, columnist, and retired pro wrestler. Currently Polinsky? Signed to WWE as a color commentator for Raw and 205 Live under the ring name Corey Graves. Born February
24, 1984. Ooh, Pisces.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Maybe Bruno Sammartino, Larry Zbysko, Kurt Angle.
He could be Kurt Angle's child, is my point. Don't stomp over my statement here.
That's your point?
Yeah, he was born in Pittsburgh.
You already made that point. No, that's how we got to Vincest.
It's proof now because of this Wikipedia.
Well, that's the whole thing about being from Pittsburgh. That's why people were drawing that line. Again, I don't know where they're going with this, but they've done a good job with this, whether they've meant to or not.
This person says, is the whole Steph and Kurt thing out of the picture? Listen, nothing's out of the picture, because whatever it is, it's top secret. It is top secret right now. We'll see if it gets out tomorrow morning.
And it could ruin his family, right?
He says it could ruin his reputation as an Olympic gold medalist. Mario here says, I think it's going to end up being an illegitimate son, but it's a setup by the smartest people in the WWE universe, Uncle Paul and Aunt Stephanie. And he also says, now that you've seen both live, who has the brightest future in WWE, the Drifter or the Velveteen Dream? Dude, the Velveteen Dream by a mile. He's 21 years old. He looks great. He's starting to grow into this Velveteen Dream character.
Still don't like it.
I mean, granted,
broke Prince.
He was wrestling Drew McIntyre. But they had a really good match at that Al's show.
He's a hell of an athlete.
I mean, this guy and I thought, this guy is going to be a star. You hear me? The Velveteen Dream is going to be a star.
Not as the Velveteen Dream, I don't think. I don't like the gimmick at all. But again, him as an athlete
wrong.
Is fantastic. Now
he's getting so good at this gimmick.
I got a question for you. Because everyone, you need 31 flavors on the card, as we talked about at the beginning of last hour. The Drifter. In 5-minute matches to open the show, hello everyone, it's the Drifter. Will you walk along with him?
No.
Can you handle that?
No. Not a good opening match guy. You need something exciting and fun and wacky.
What if he got hit with the guitar every night?
Nah, too tough on the head. The phones, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, Brian?
Hello.
Well, I have two options for what this big thing can be. The first option being Stephanie, because there are rumors that Angle might face Triple H, and this would be a way to start that feud if he's been having an affair with Stephanie. The other option is kind of a combination, in that instead of it just being an illegitimate child or an affair, he has a whole secret family. And maybe Dixie's like his secret wife, and then Chad or Bailey is his child.
Sure, or both.
Yeah.
Man. Well, listen, let me tell you one thing about this. I want to thank you very much for the call. I, as everyone is well aware listening to this show, I'm almost always right. Sometimes I am wrong. And sometimes I'm really, really wrong. So I'm going to take a chance here on being really, really, really wrong. It ain't going to be Stephanie. Okay. I would almost go as far as to say that I guarantee that it won't be Stephanie. I don't think it's going to be Stephanie.
They didn't want to do it long ago. Why would they want to do it now? And really, I don't know. I'm not sure how any of this. Now, granted, they drop things at the, as we've mentioned a million times too, without ever missing a beat, and have done so for years when they just doesn't fit into the story anymore. But I don't know how any of this damages his reputation. I mean, we know what Kurt Angle has been through in his life and some of the things that have happened to him. I don't know how whatever's going to happen is going to be so bad that this is going to sully his reputation.
As
an Olympic gold medalist?
Illegitimate child. When you're a milk drinking American hero, that's a big deal.
Bastard babies running around, Kurt Angle.
Please, Mike.
That's what you're saying.
This person says, will we go backwards in continuity with the... Everyone's talking about Stephanie. I don't think it's Stephanie.
Well...
Stephanie wouldn't even do an angle where she would have to have a fake mugshot on the internet. So the idea that she's going to do a storyline where she's cheating on her husband with Kurt Angle, I just don't see it happening. They've got young children.
Stephanie...
Not to mention...
Yes, you don't want to confuse the children, right?
Hunter's not that stupid.
Well, he's not.
How about this? This person says it's a letdown of an idea, but maybe Kurt sold his Olympic gold medals for something stupid. You could do
the
that,
the magic
actually.
Beans that Roman Reigns talked about with
maybe,
Big Show last
maybe
year?
Maybe he'll admit that he had a substance abuse problem, as I believe they did in his big documentary on the WWE 24/7, and he'll admit that he sold his medals for pills, and the person that bought them is coming forward to tell the world.
Oh, my God.
Hey, it's an idea. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to give us a call, toll free, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. We got all sorts of text messages here. Let us continue. This person says, Bubba from Memphis, about the Kurt Angle thing. It's a long shot, but since Booker T is on commentary now, Kurt used to stalk Charmel. What if they did something where it was revealed that Kurt and Charmel used to get together, had a kid? Kid is revealed to be none other than Jason Jordan. Something to ponder.
He's running for Mary Houston, or as Lisa's thinking about it. I don't know if he's doing that one.
Well, it could be Jason Jordan.
With that.
I can tell you that.
No, okay, sure.
It could be Jason Jordan.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be.
Now, what you were saying, too, which is would be a hell of a way to go with Kurt and doing a heavy storyline if he gave up those medals. Now, I don't know if he sold them for crack or whatever it would be, but, you know, Kurt Angle having to sell the medals, which would besmirch him, it would shame his family, I guess, to know that he did something like that, fell in such depths, and he's been hiding it, would play into a great long-running WWE storyline of... People without the WWE are miserable failures in life, and that could bring Stephanie McMahon and Triple H back into the scene and into the scenario as they try to reach their hand out to Kurt and try to help him up again the same way that they helped Paul White after his strip mall went under and after Shawn Michaels when he, I guess, partied all of his money away and was left destitute with nothing. Maybe they can play into it that way.
Person says maybe Angle will be revealed as a pot smoker like Michael Phelps. It almost ruined his reputation as an Olympian. Then his illegitimate sons could be the Diaz brothers.
You know, I didn't like that until you got to the punchline of it. And then, you know what? That's fine. You know, although, again, if, you know, can you really trust either one of those dudes with a live mic?
This person says, tomorrow it's Dixie Carter because it's because of a new TNA Global Force invasion as that's his new partner and they're in control of Raw. Don't think that's it. But, I mean, it could be Dixie, and they could sign a couple of former TNA guys and do an invasion angle, but don't think that's going to happen. But I guess anything is possible.
I don't know about that. Now, as far as the pot-smoking thing, too, is there anything Vince hates more than smoking? Always been his, like,
he does not like smoking.
Pet peeves, yes.
If WWE does have a women's Royal Rumble, do you think they'll bring an unsigned talent to round out the Rumble like they've done with the Mae Young Classic? They'll have to. They don't have enough women under contract.
Well, I mean, I think you could do it, but then you're including...
They bring in unsigned talent for the regular Royal Rumble.
That's
so
the
sure
thing.
They'd bring it in for the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, I mean, why not? You know, because again, this thing isn't going to air. I would assume just on the network is another random special event. So yeah.
This person here says Kurt Angle's illegitimate child will be Big Cass. That's why he was purposely incompetent with the investigation into who attacked Enzo. Interesting.
Who would the mother be then to get the height there?
A very, very tall woman. This person says, Corey Graves sent a flirtatious tweet to Bailey, which Aaron Solow wound up replying to. I think that must be Bailey's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Let's just find out what's going on here.
Hmm.
Let's check this out.
Investigations on air. Now, you're not the only one who could do it, Corey Graves. We'll find out about you.
We want tweets and replies, I presume, right?
I think so, yes.
Let's see. What do we got? Oh, hey, it's Bailey with a wink, it appears. Oh, God, there's 382 comments. I can't. Oh, and then Aaron Solow responded, hello, Corey.
Ooh.
Huh. Listen,
does
I've been telling.
Have any opinion? On
I've
this?
Suggested forever that Bailey is going to kiss Corey Graves. Nobody wanted to listen to me.
Well, who? Well, never mind. Let's see about Kurt's Twitter here. Anything? Very cool repping at the nation's capital. It's true. So there's a guy in a Kurt Angle shirt at the Lincoln Memorial. He's got that. And a video of his commercial that he did in response to Seth Rollins, which is really, really cool. You know, they should probably have the 2K18 guys actually book the show. They seem to have better storylines going on. But outside of that, Kurt seems to be nonplussed about the whole deal.
Ronda Rousey was born in 1987. Perhaps she is Angle's child. Rousey heat with Triple H and Stephanie at Mania 31. A feud ensues. Don't think it's going to be Ronda Rousey. But hey,
although
anything is possible in WWE. This fellow says Kurt Angle had an affair with Claire Lynch. I don't think it's going to be Claire Lynch either. Back to this NXT show on Friday. No Way Jose Kona Reeves, I know it was awesome. Drew McIntyre, Velveteen Dream. Velveteen Dream was very good in this match, but he was with Drew McIntyre, who was awesome, so you can't read too much into it. But I saw this match, I thought Velveteen Dream was a future star. Lars Sullivan, who is just the most pro-wrestling-looking pro wrestler you ever saw, defeated former Seattle Seahawk Demetrius Bronson. This match was amazing. Demetrius Bronson is so green. He's been wrestling like 4 months, I think.
Demetrius Action Bronson.
He goes in there, and of course, like, the place goes ballistic for this guy when he comes out. Going crazy, Seahawks chants, the whole nine yards. He goes in there. Lars Sullivan beats him, of course. Not just because it's the guy's hometown, but, I mean, he was very green. He should have been beaten. So he gets beaten, and then Lars lays him out afterwards. And I guess, I don't know, you never know what a crowd's going to do. He gets laid out by Lars Sullivan, and the fans chant one more time. They want Lars Sullivan to kill the Seahawk again. Lars Sullivan goes to kill him again, but then he turns and he just walks backstage. Everybody boos the guy like crazy. I thought, this man is brilliant. Like, they wanted something, but he's a heel. He didn't give it to him. So the funniest thing is, let me repeat what happened. He kills the guy. They chant one more time, one more time. He goes to do it one more time, but then decides not to, and they boo him like crazy as he leaves. The ring announcer comes out to announce the next match, but suddenly Lars Sullivan rushes out from backstage and kills him one more time. However, the fans booed him for doing so. That's the weirdest thing I'd ever seen.
Oh, you know, but hey, overkill too. Shouldn't have run back out there. Let it go. You're the heel. You know, give him the moment and just walk away. Let them boo you and be done with it.
We had Ember Moon.
Oh, by the way, just to mention Bronson here, somebody's got to give me a report on his debut match on March 3rd, where he teamed with Ho Ho Lun against the Authors of Pain. So if anybody went and saw that, I'd love to know about that.
I'm sure it was a total squash. Ember Moon and Ruby Riott. A lot of people thought this was the best match of the night. These people are out of their minds. Bobby Roode, Roderick Strong was the best match of the night. But the fans did love this match. It was good. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was just a good match, but it did get great heat, and they both looked pretty good. Aleister Black beat Andrade, Cien Almas. People went nuts for Aleister Black. The Authors of Pain beat Heavy Machinery. Pretty sure this match was better than the match they had on TV. It was all I could do to keep Vinny from just jumping up and down out of his seat, blocking the view of half the crowd. He was so excited for this match. Let me tell you something.
Creating quakes.
I said this on Thursday. I stand by it. I have nothing against Tucker Knight, but the star of this team is Otis Dozovich. He did the funniest comeback you ever saw. He didn't do this on TV. I have no idea why. But he has a spot where during his comeback, he stops and he sort of shakes his leg and then he shakes it again. And then he starts doing like an Irish jig and then continues his comeback. The place went so out of their minds for this Irish jig that Otis Dozovich did. It was so
leg.
It was so amazing. And by the way, should mention this as well. Demetrius Bronson, he's got his hair up, and I guess his hair kind of looks like Kofi Kingston, because when the match is over, everybody starts chanting for the New Day as he's leaving the ring.
Oh, God.
And he's standing by the ropes, and his back is to the fans, because it's a theater. And everybody's chanting New Day Rocks or whatever, and he's struggling to get through the ropes, and then like he ducks under the top rope, so he's kind of bending over facing the crowd. And then he stops, and he looks back, and he shakes his butt. And everybody went out of their minds crazy for this. And then he left.
And then somebody else ran out and kicked him in the crotch and beat him up.
Also, Drew McIntyre, he's doing his match, and crowd starts chanting 3MB at him.
No.
And so what does he do? But in the middle of the match, he strikes a pose and plays his air guitar.
Good for him.
Fans went nuts. They went nuts.
They love it.
Then we had the Asuka Billy Kay non-match. And then Bobby Roode beat Roderick Strong. Fabulous match. It was so great. Could have headlined a takeover. Way better than their last TV match, I thought. It was awesome.
Wrestling fans will always love a wink and a nod. That's the one thing that sports entertainment can give you.
Everybody does. They do it in movies, too.
That's true, but real sports doesn't give you that entertainment can, and pro wrestling definitely can, and stuff like that. Again, no matter how bad the gimmick may have been or something like that, people will still get a kick out of it.
This person says, Lars Sullivan is improving every time I see him. It's true. Lars Sullivan is going to be a big star. He looks like the French Angel. Just, he's bigger. He's just a freak. He's got a great wrestling face. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you know where to go, WrestlingObserver.com. Man, there's so much stuff up there. We have daily radio shows, radio shows per day. I usually do at least two, sometimes three every day. Today is a three-show day. We got Observer Live, which you're listening to now, which will be up for subscribers, commercial-free here in about 20 minutes. We got the Brian and Vinny Show coming up later on tonight, talking old NWA World Championship Wrestling. And later tonight, myself and Dave Meltzer will be back talking all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts. We do anywhere from 15 to 20 new shows a week for subscribers. You get full access to our archives, 12 years, 8,000 shows in the archives. Grab all of them for podcasting, however you listen to your audio. You'll never run out of audio as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. You also get the Wrestling Observer newsletter, 35 to 40,000 words every single week on pro wrestling. It's about half the length of a book every week. You also get a back issue of the Observer. All of the archives are available 24/7 for subscribers. If you love wrestling, if you love wrestling audio, if you love reading about wrestling, sign up to WrestlingObserver.com today and you will love it. Guaranteed. If you want to call the show today, 844-411-5411. Text messages 425-780-7566. All of these numbers up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com as well. To the phones, you're on the air.
Yay, this is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim. Yay.
Happy. Yay.
I just wanted to, I tell you what I'm happy about. I've been wanting for quite a while. I really enjoy the two-hour Sundays again.
They're back.
It's great to have two. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Another show.
Now, one question is, it's about wrestling, but it's about somebody that used to call in here. Does Ed just not call in anymore from San Antonio?
Yeah, Ed doesn't call in anymore.
Brian banned him.
I didn't ban him, actually. He banned himself.
I just wonder, because all the women's wrestling stuff, you know, you'd figure he would, you know, but...
He's ecstatic right now, obviously. I don't know if he went to the Shimmer tapings last weekend.
Well, I know that Veda Scott won the Nova Championship for Shine the other night.
Holy smokes. Yeah. Veda Scott, can you believe it?
Yep. Oh, and talking about the Mae Young Classic. Now, they've just about done the whole thing. Am I correct recording it?
Yep. All we have left are the finals.
Now, when will we start to get to see them on the network?
The week after SummerSlam, they'll drop 4. The week after that, they're going to drop 4 more. And the week after that are the finals.
Wow, that's a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that's a lot in a very short amount of time as well.
Exactly. Well, I hope, you know, it'll be worth it. I hope it'll be worth it.
Judging from the taping reports, I want to thank you very much for the call. Judging from the taping reports, it's going to be worth it. I mean, people were raving about night one, so yeah.
I mean,
Hold on, before you go, I got to mention something here, because he mentioned Ed. Mm-hmm. I haven't plugged this on the show yet, but...
Oh, yeah.
SummerSlam weekend, we're going to be doing our annual convention in Vegas. If you want to come meet us, if you want to come hang out for a weekend in Vegas, there's all sorts of stuff going on this weekend. Thursday, there's a party at Carnival Court in Harrah's. He wrote Harrah's. Pretty sure it's Harrah's. Ed, not the best speller. Friday, Kissimmee Golf Tournament at the Rio. Dinner at Texas Day Brazil. I'll be there. Vinny will be there. Dave might be there. There's going to be a sweet party. Saturday, there's going to be a Future Stars of Wrestling show.
Wait, there's going to be a sweet party or a party in a suite or a sweet party in a suite?
It's going to be a sweet, sweet party. Saturday, Future Stars of Wrestling featuring Stefan Bonner and Phil Baroni, who we wrote here as Phil Baron, as well as Filthy Tom Lawler versus the former Antonio the Promise Thomas. Filthy is going to be there that weekend as well, so you can meet him. Got a Super China Buffet Day Sunday at the Wicked Spoon Buffet, followed by a SummerSlam viewing party at the Sci-Fi Center. We're also going to have a viewing party for NXT on Saturday night, if I recall correctly. And all website members who go to Vegas will receive a 15% discount on any purchase from the Las Vegas Fight Shop for the entirety of the convention. If you want to attend any or all of this, you got to get yourself to Vegas, you got to get yourself a hotel, and you can go to f4wvegas.brownpapertickets.com and you can grab tickets for any of these events, the sweet party, the SummerSlam viewing party, everything, Super China Buffet. It's going to be awesome. As noted, I'll be there, Vinny will be there, maybe Mike will be there. Hopefully Dave is going to be there for a while, Filthy's going to be there, we got tons of people, it's going to be awesome. So head to f4wvegas.brownpapertickets.com. The info is also up in the daily update that is up every day, daily, at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there, check that out if you want to come hang out over SummerSlam weekend in Las Vegas. This person thinks Hornswoggle is Kurt's boyfriend. And he's also Vince's son.
Kurt's boyfriend and Vince's son. As you said, Kennedy will not be back as any relation to Kurt Angle. I can guarantee you that.
This person says, rumor is the Mae Young Classic Finals are taking place after an episode of SmackDown in the 205 live spot. What a terrible idea. Well, when should they air it?
Hold on now. I don't think so. Now, that's... Look, if they decided to do that live after a SmackDown and hyped it up during the show and made a big deal out of it as a one-off thing, if that's what they decided to do, I don't think that's the worst idea in the world. In fact, I think that's a pretty good idea than, like, say, having it on a Saturday night or something like that, using Raw or, in this case, SmackDown as a lead into it, and then putting that, hyping it up on the two shows leading into it, I think would be a great idea, actually.
Person says, Kurt Angle should retire until WrestleMania 34 and have an illegitimate child that helps him win. Kurt Angle has never undergone any testing by WWE, so there's no guarantee he's ever going to have a match. They could take one look at that guy's neck and just say, dude, it ain't happening.
That's true.
We don't care who you're wrestling. It's not happening. This person says, Corey is a flirt. He flirts with Renee a lot. How about that? By the way, if you want to text or call 844-411-5411, text messages 425-780-7566.
Ladies seem to like Corey.
This person says, SummerSlam could feature Kurt versus Triple H and Team Steph versus Team Dixie. They can combine everybody's top two guesses. Kurt comes out and announces an affair with Stephanie, but Dixie comes out and also had an affair with Kurt.
Not Stephanie. It's, God, this is...
Man,
you know, everybody, I want to hear...
People are building up this big in their brains right now.
This is going to let this stuff marinate too overnight. I cannot wait to hear what we get tomorrow with some of the extreme warfare revenge type of booking for this.
This person says, I'm predicting that Kurt's announcement will not be until after the show on the network. At 10:59, Cole will say, Kurt will reveal at 11:07 on the network. Nope.
You can't go.
He's doing this on the show.
No, 1986, David Crockett. Tony, what's going on as the credits are rolling? We're out of time stuff. No, you can't do that one.
Yeah, this will be on Raw tomorrow, and hopefully it lives up to everybody's whatever you want to call it.
And great expectations. It's Kurt's angle.
This person says, apparently Kyrie has great pirate music. That sounds awesome. If I were WWE, I would just start adding the women's show now weekly. It has buzz. I would too. I would announce it. We've changed our mind. Next week, the Mae Young Classic kicks off. It'll be every week after NXT. 1 hour for 8 weeks, and then the finals.
When's that,
like,
UK show?
Get with the program, people. This is the way it should be done. Like, seriously. This is a serious question for everybody. We don't have enough time, but this is an absolutely 100% serious question. So, I know they want to just try something new because Netflix puts full seasons up for the binge watchers and that sort of thing. But, like I said before, the week after SummerSlam, you've already got 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, NXT, that's 6 hours. 205 Live, that's 7 hours. Now you're going to add 4 more hours. And then the week after, you're going to add 4 more hours on top of that. So what are we at? 10 hours a week if you're a hardcore fan? Like, they're asking you to watch 10 hours. And you have to watch it. You have to watch all of these Mae Young Classic episodes. You have to watch 8 in 2 weeks. Or you're behind when they air the finals. So my question is, name me, like, okay, so I guess here's what I'm trying to say.
Go ahead.
If you air 1 hour a week for 8 weeks, okay, I know I can fit that into a schedule easily. 1 hour a week for 8 weeks, okay? If you air 4 shows and then another 4 shows, and you're asking me to watch 8 additional hours of WWE programming over a 2 week period, okay, I'm telling you right now, I can't. So now, they're down at least 1 viewer. And I would bet that there are others out there that also are going to drop out. In what way is releasing them 1 hour at a time over 8 weeks going to also result in you having less viewers? Right? You know that when you throw out 8 programs in a 2 hour period, you know you're going to cut down on your number of viewers. Like, why? I just don't understand. Why would you not air 1 a week for 8 weeks? What's the benefit of doing it the other way? That's my point. What is the benefit of doing it the other way? There is no benefit. You just want to try something new, but it's not beneficial. This is not like a...
Hold on.
This is not like a Netflix binge watching. You're dropping a whole season. Because you're not dropping a whole season, because you've got one extra episode that's the main event of the season that you have to watch live. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not a fair comparison. It's different.
Well,
if you were adding the finals to it and you said, listen, we're going to drop 9 episodes all on one day, watch them at your own leisure, fine. You can do that. But they're dropping 8 episodes and they're demanding you watch all 8 in 2 weeks or you can't watch the final. So if anybody could tell me the benefit of doing that as compared to the benefit of doing 1 a week for 8 weeks and then doing the final, I'd love to hear it.
I don't know, and I don't know if maybe they have some other motive for this because they want numbers to be in a... I have no idea. I have no idea. Maybe, like you said, they're just taking a chance doing this because they can with this show of, well, we're going to take the Netflix approach and we know where this, you know, maybe they have their feelings on what, you know, who is going to watch this thing and they'll all watch it if we put it out all at the same time anyway. I don't know. I don't know why they're not striking while the iron is hot and didn't plan to roll this thing out a little bit sooner in portions after it actually was taped. And I don't know if they think that a month from now people are going to forget about it or whatever. I don't think it matters. I think there was so much excitement coming out of this taping and so much buzz coming out of it. To me, you keep that going by rolling these things out and rolling them along. You know, obviously your flashiest matches first to get people in and then keep rolling them out there and then roll towards the finals. Again, I don't have Netflix. I will admit I did binge watch, I have binge watch shows, but very rarely because of wrestling and other things that are on. But I know that's the approach that a lot of people are taking now. I just don't know, because of where the finals are and what they're leading up to, if you're giving people enough time to do it. I'm not even anti the idea. I just think the scheduling of it is god-awful.
Terrible. It should be starting this week after NXT. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, USA. Well, we're going to have a lot to talk about the rest of the week. Obviously.
I don't know about Paul's finals, by the way. Evil, six matches in a row, Yoshihashi in the G1 finals. I don't think so.
Not happening. Starts tonight, 2 a.m. late Sunday, 11 Pacific. Yuji Nagata, Yoshihashi, Togi Makabe, Bad Luck Fale, Goto versus Ishii, Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr., Naito versus Ibushi. That's tonight, NJPWWorld.com. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the show. As well as tonight, Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. Monday, Raw in Nashville, the Kurt Angle mystery. As well as, we didn't even talk about this, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, the winner, gets Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Which, by the way, is fixin' to become the biggest story of the summer. That's all I'll say about that. Go home show on Tuesday for SmackDown. Punjabi Prison is going to be at TV. We've also got a bunch of matches for 205 Live. John Cena is going to be the SmackDown show Monday if you're going to Columbus, Georgia. So a lot of stuff coming up, and we're going to talk about it here. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. If you miss out, check out WrestlingObserver.com for more. Everything you ever needed to know about pro wrestling and all the audio you could ever listen to is up at WrestlingObserver.com. I want to thank everybody for listening. All of the folks in the studio, Mike, as always, callers and listeners, we'll talk to you again next time here on Wrestling Observer Live.